and kind of discovered it this week. Because there is a limitation put on it. And he says that he will cut off from Ahab every male, bond or free, in Israel. So what Israel is he talking about? There's two different ways to refer to Israel, right? What's that? Israel is the actual name of the northern kingdom over which Ahab ruled. But Israel is also the name of the entire nation. What do we call the southern kingdom? Judah. Northern kingdom's called Israel. Which one of these two do you think he's talking about? The northern, not the whole nation as a people group? There's some implications here we got to think through. Right, so that's what we got to decide. Is he talking about Israel, the northern nation, or is he talking about Israel as the people group? Probably the northern. What leads you to that conclusion? Aha. If we say that the in Israel means the entire people group, that leads us into a problem, doesn't it? Because who is ruling over the southern kingdom of Judah right now? Right. When Jehu is anointed king, the king of Judah is Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Jehoshaphat, which is all well and good because Jehoshaphat's a descendant of David. But who did Jehoram marry? Ahab's daughter, Athaliah. So that means that Jehoram's son, Ahaziah, see, this Jehoram is the same as this same guy, just different aspects of his reign. Jehoram's son, Ahaziah, is the son of Jehoram and Athaliah. Athaliah is the daughter of Ahab. So if that limitation means the entire people group, we've got a problem because there's another son of Ahab sitting on the throne of Judah. Right? So can God wipe out the entire house of Ahab from the people of Israel? It would end the line of David, wouldn't it? Because the succession of Davidic kings is going down from Jehoshaphat to Jehoram to Ahaziah and to his son, Joash. So that would leave us with a problem, unless what God says there is, I'm going to have you wipe out Ahab's descendants from the nation of Israel, the nation. In which case, Jehu does exactly that, as we read over the last couple of weeks. He kills off Ahab's son Jehoram. He goes to Samaria, kills Ahab's 70 sons and grandsons. He meets a big group of people that are related to Ahaziah, the king of the south. He meets them as they're traveling north to meet the queen, and he kills them off. He conducts a very thorough purge of all of the Ahab descendants in the nation of Israel. And when he gets done with that, God actually commends him for executing judgment the way that God told him to, and says, because you've done this, you'll see your people, you'll see your dynasty sit on the throne of Israel to the fourth generation. So, My thought there would be that, yes, he's talking about the northern nation. Because if he means Israel as a people, then we still have Ahab's descendants in the south. And that becomes a problem. Because does God keep his promises? He absolutely does. And he keeps them exactly as he states them. God is very, very good at that. So, Jehu has fulfilled that role. He has completely wiped out the descendants of Ahab from the northern kingdom. And so when we pick up in chapter 11, we have to understand that that's the situation. In the northern kingdom right now, Jehu is solidifying his reign as a new king of a new dynasty. And he has done it by completely obliterating the former dynasty. So the writer of Kings jumps for us to fill us in on what's happening in the southern kingdom. So 2 Kings 11:1, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead. Now remember, Jehu killed Ahaziah, right? Ahaziah was up in the north talking to his uncle, King Joram, and Jehu found both of them and killed them both. And so Athaliah gets word of this. Her son Ahaziah is dead. And Jehu is wiping out the house of Ahab in the north. So what does Athaliah do? What any good mother would do when you find out your family's in danger? This is exactly what you ladies would do, right? Let me finish the statement. She arose and destroyed all the royal family. So she finishes the job for him, or tries to anyway. Athaliah decides to go ahead and try to wipe out all of the royal family. Now let's think about think about the logic, shall we? Why in the world is she doing this? She wants to reign as queen. Remember, whose daughter is she? And who was Ahab married to? So this is Jezebel's daughter, right? This explains a lot, right? What's the saying? The apple doesn't fall far from the tree. Athaliah learned well from her mother how to handle these sorts of internal problems. Now, who might she be wiping out of the royal family? Let's think through, why would she kill off the entire royal family? Who might be included in the royal family? Someone from David's line? Possibly. Joram's son. So there might be some other children of Jehoram. But Ahaziah was the next in line for the throne. So some of this is just imagination. Why in the world would Athaliah try to kill off the entire royal family? Other than that she wanted to rule. Well, we don't get any picture from her that she's a very faithful woman and trying to accomplish what the Lord said. And if we're right about the limitation that the Lord put on that, then it wouldn't apply to her anyway, right? Mm-hmm. My guess is just that Athaliah learned well from Queen Jezebel how to be queen. And she is trying to solidify her rule as a total dictator, which is going to be evidenced a little bit in the fact that she does sit on the throne for 7 years as a queen. That, in itself, was unheard of in ancient Israel. It wasn't necessarily unheard of in the ancient world. There were other countries that had queens that ruled over them, but Israel didn't. In fact, she's the only one to ever do this. But being that she's descended from Jezebel, who is herself a descendant of the Phoenician kings, there's a good chance she's trying to establish a precedent here that, hey, it doesn't have to be one of these sons of David. You know, we women can rule this thing just as well. And so we're going to try to make sure this happens. So she wipes out the entire royal family. She destroys them all. That would include Ahaziah's wife, any children that Ahaziah has. Ahaziah may also have had concubines, and they might have children. And so these are the people that Athaliah is after. Now, Ahaziah is most likely very, very young. He's only been on the throne for 1 year, and his dad was not on the throne all that long. His dad was 40 years old when he died, so Ahaziah is probably, we're not looking at more than like 20, 22 years old here when he dies. And the fact that Joash, his son that does escape, oops, did I give that away? I'm not at that point in the story yet, am I? His son that does escape is only a year old. And so Ahaziah was a young, young man. So Athaliah has watched her son die here, and so she's just making sure that nobody else can take the throne. But intrigue. This is good spy movie kind of stuff, right? So you have to picture yourself. You hear the command go out. Soldiers are running through the royal palace, and they're killing off anybody of the royal family that they can find. But here you are, your name is Jehosheba, you are the sister of King Jehoram, or the daughter of King Joram, sorry, you're the daughter of King Joram, and you decide, you hear this commotion going on, you are going to rescue the very young prince, Joash. And so she does. She took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, stole him away from among the king's sons who were being put to death, and she put him and his nurse in a bedroom. Thus they hid him from Athaliah so that he was not put to death. Think about two aspects of this story for a second. First of all, I want you to put yourself in the place of the soldiers. You find out your king is dead, Ahaziah, so who's next in line for the throne? One of his sons. Well, that son is only a year old. He can't command you, right? So now who do you take orders from? You can see the power vacuum here. You know, who's next in line for the throne? I don't know how long the line of succession is in America, but we have a very clear path of succession for the president. If the president is disabled or killed, it's the vice president. If the vice president is disabled or killed, I think, is it the Speaker of the House? If the Speaker of the House is disabled or killed, Secretary of State? Yeah. And on it goes, and every step we're going to get a little bit foggier because we've never been in that situation. 200 and almost 50 years, and we've never really had to go through that long of a line. Have we ever had to go beyond step one to the vice president? I don't think we ever have. I mean, number one, we have very good security. But number two, that line of succession is much longer than it has to be, just in case there's a crazy scenario. Well, wasn't there a whole series, Designated Survivor, there it is, that was about that, a bomb goes off and takes out nearly the entire line of succession down to, who was that guy? Yeah. Okay. So he was way down there on the list, and something happened, and everybody else was killed, and this poor lowly guy becomes president that way. Interesting concept, huh? But that's kind of where we're at. So who steps into the power vacuum here? She's killing off, the queen is killing off all of the heirs? Descendants? Yeah, there was another word I was thinking of, and I just can't come up with it. Hmm? Family. Yeah. Successors. I think that, there it is. She's killing off all the successors, but put yourself in the place of the soldiers. King Ahaziah is gone. You hear he's dead. And Athaliah comes up and says, come with me. I want you to start killing off all these people. Why in the world do you go along with this? You're afraid of her. I imagine that she had instilled a pretty good sense of fear around the palace. You didn't cross this woman.
Doesn't normally, since Ahaziah's son is 21-year-old, doesn't his mother normally rule until he's old enough?
No. No, the line of successions always went with a male in Israel. There weren't any. Yeah, and that's the trouble they're getting into. Who's going to take over? But she is ensuring that there's nobody else to take over. So either this soldier is afraid of her, or for some reason they're loyal to her, because they start killing off all the successors, anybody that possibly could. So you would go from son, but if there's no sons that can take the throne, you'd probably back up and go to, are there nephews? Are there uncles? Were there any sons, other sons of Jehoram other than Ahaziah? Were there any sons of Jehoshaphat still alive? But so thorough is her extermination of the Davidic line that there's only one guy left, and that's Joash, this one-year-old. Now I want you to put yourself in the place of another person, and that's this Jehosheba. I mean, how much courage does it take to do what she does here? You hear the order going out, you see the soldiers going and killing everybody, and you grab this young boy and run. Hide him in a room somewhere. How do you keep a baby quiet? Kim's back there saying, yeah, I know. Stuff something in his mouth. No, yeah, children were to be seen, not heard. They were behaved better. Did you hear what he just said? We didn't start installing voice boxes in kids until, what, the 1960s, right? That's right. That's right. Well, however she does it, this brave woman stands up against Athaliah, resists her will, says, no, not going to happen. And it is a fantastic example of how to deal with tyrannical rulers. How many of you have read, what is his name, World War II, the Christian Bonhoeffer? Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Ever read his biography? His biography? Fantastic stuff. What do you do when you've got a crazed ruler acting in a tyrannical manner towards his people? Most of us will probably react by being terrified and going along with it even though we don't like it, which might be where the soldiers are that are executing these orders. But God seems to raise up certain persons that are willing to stand against it and say, no, I'm not going to do that. In fact, I'm going to resist you. And I'm not going to go along with what you're telling me to do, even though it might cost me my life. And I'm going to try to salvage something of what you're trying to destroy. So, she grabs young Joash. She hides him in a bedroom so that he was not put to death. And it says, he remained with her 6 years, hidden in the house of the Lord while Athaliah reigned over the land. So Athaliah rules on the throne for 6 years. And Joash is hiding in the temple. Now, you want to see an interesting little tidbit? Turn to 2 Chronicles. So we're going to look at 2 Chronicles. Oh, where'd it go? Chapter 22. 2 Chronicles 22:10. Nearly identical recording of the events of this time. 2 Chronicles 22:10 says, when Athaliah, the mother of Ahaziah, saw that her son was dead, she arose and destroyed all the royal family of the house of Judah. That part we know. But Jehoshabeth, that's another version of the name Jehoshabeth, same girl, the daughter of the king. Oh, wait a second. So who's Jehoshabeth? She's a princess. This is a princess of Israel. All right? She's the daughter of the king. And I believe in another text it tells us that she is the daughter of... Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. That's back in 2 Kings. She's the daughter of King Joram, which is Jehoram. It's another way to say Jehoram. So this is Jehoram's daughter, Ahaziah's sister, but apparently not the daughter of Athaliah. So this could be a daughter of a concubine, or it could be the daughter of another wife, but probably not the daughter of Athaliah, and yet a sister to Ahaziah. And so she is the daughter of the king, but look what else it says about her. She's the daughter of the king. She took Joash, the son of Ahaziah, stole him away from among the king's sons who were about to put to death, and she put him and his nurse in a bedroom. Thus, Jehoshabeath, the daughter of King Jehoram, and the wife of Jehoiada the priest. So not only is she a princess, she's also the wife of the high priest. So, tells us a little bit about why she's hiding Joash in the temple, huh? Because she has access to it through her husband. And so interesting little connections there that not only did Jehoram marry the wicked princess Athaliah, but he also married, his sister married the high priest. What a crazy mixing going on there, right? Some of us feel like our families are mixed up. So imagine those Thanksgiving dinners. So you have the wife of the high priest coming in, and then you have this wicked pagan princess. And imagine if mother-in-law Jezebel comes down for a visit. You know, what might those conversations be like? So there are just some interesting connections going on down there. And he remains hidden in the house of the Lord for 6 years. So what do you think life was like in Israel for 6 years with Athaliah on the throne? A little bit scary? Do you find it interesting that for 6 years Athaliah never discovers this young boy in the temple? Yeah, it could be that the temple was a very large place. It would be easy to hide there. But also, I bet she didn't set foot in that temple. Being the daughter of Jezebel, probably she's a Baal worshiper and never went to temple. Unless it was Baal's temple. There is a temple of Baal in Jerusalem at this point. And so probably Athaliah never goes to the temple of Jehovah. She's always at the temple of Baal. And so for 6 years, this young boy is protected there while everybody just kind of bides their time and waits. So why do you think they wait 6 years? Yeah, that's right. Let's not be ridiculous. Joshi, do you want to rule over the kingdom? He says, I do. I got this down. I cry, they come running. So, yes, a little anecdote. Yesterday, I'm sitting in the kitchen working on the computer, and he's in one of these little walkers that he can walk around the kitchen with. And he's just happy and laughing and giggling, and every time he'd walk by me, he'd look up and smile. And I'd look and smile at him and go back to work. And then one time, I hear, ah! And I looked over at him, and he had it stuck in a corner. He couldn't get out, and he's looking at me, ah! Dad, get me out of here! Eldon, go ahead. Yes. He has a lot of sway, we'll put it that way. He's one of... No, he's not. Yeah, I don't think he maps out the kitchen very much, but yeah. Well, yeah, they have to wait a reasonable amount of time until it's feasible to put Joash on the throne and take his place again as the Davidic king. But he has to be old enough to be able to make some decisions, not without counselors, of course. But he does have to be old enough to do that, so they wait 6 years. And so it is in verse 4, it says, in the seventh year, Jehoiada sent and brought the captains of the Karites and of the guards and had them come to him in the house of the Lord. Now you got to think through too what a step this is for Jehoiada to take. Okay? Because Athaliah is queen. Now we get into some interesting fun questions here about rebellion and treason and things like that, which we'll get to probably next week. You know what? It's 5 till. We'll go ahead and dive into those things next week. Because the following passage is the story of how they returned the kingdom back to Joash. And we will get into some of those questions and discussions about resisting authorities. When do we resist? When do we say no? When can we take an active part in overturning them? And for the government agent that will be listening into this when we post it on the internet, we're not advocating open rebellion here. We're doing some hypothetical thought analyses. So, any questions about, I know we didn't cover a whole lot here. We covered, what, 6 verses, but we had a lot of fun doing it. Any questions or comments? All right. We